the most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show. I got a new trio, and it's going down. Before you come home and tell me you're not angry, and I'll be leaving, and I'll be leaving town.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So, you know, I've been following this guy on Twitter. Calls himself a Christian prophet. Again, one of these way out religious, you know, radical types that evidently has a pretty good sized following. His name's Mark Taylor, otherwise known as the Firefighter Prophet. Evidently, he believes that the Democrats control the weather. Evidently, the Democrats are the ones who are raining hurricanes down on the East Coast just because they're mad at Donald Trump. Now, so, you know, hey, you know, if the Democrats could, if they could control the weather, do you think that, you know, they would do it against Trump? Hey, maybe they can. Maybe Bill and Hillary have a secret lab in their basement where they control the weather. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world and in Washington, D.C. Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us. So what do you think? Do you think if the Democrats, do you think they control the weather?
Well, I don't know. If they do, then they ought to make it, they got to make it, what is it, rain on Election Day? They want sunshine, right? Yes.
Yeah, you want more people showing up.
Right. So if they control it, then they should make sunshine.
No, they can't make sunshine. They can only make rain, and they can only do bad things. Because if I get this right, if I get his premise right, Democrats can only do really horrible things.
Mm-hmm. And who is this? I've never heard of him.
His name's Mark Taylor. Just a guy I came across as, you know, and there are a bunch of these right-wing attention getters. You know, they're trying to make a name for themselves in the very lucrative, cash-rich evangelical world, so they're trying to, you know, be as far out there as they can be, so that maybe the kooks will send them money. I mean, because that's how it is, you know, the evangelical, you know, the way to God is through evidently his bank account.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
I've always found it very fascinating that, you know, people send money to people on TV. You know, I used to watch that Tammy Faye and Jim Baker.
He's
still on TV. And I used to marvel at the fact that there were people who would send these charlatans money.
Right.
I just, you know, who was the guy who threatened that God was going to kill him if he didn't raise, you know, like $10 million or something?
I don't know. It
was one of them where, you know, at the last minute, in came a massive donation and it was God's will. And you know it was him trying to save his own skin. So, I don't know. Anyway. So, hurricanes, if it's not the Democrats, who is it? Because Donald Trump doesn't believe it's us.
Yeah, but you mean Hurricane Michael?
Or any hurricanes. He doesn't believe in... did you get his climate change thoughts during that 60 Minutes interview?
Well, what he was saying, which was interesting, and now I'm not sure this ties in, but I'm going to think it does. NASA, which, of course, President, you know, points the head of NASA and directs it. NASA has data out today about a severe climate problem, and that's NASA.
Right.
So that's, you know, our own agency of the government. And Trump, of course, which I found fascinating, doesn't mean he's going to embrace doing something, but I found it fascinating that he said it's not a hoax. Now, of course, he said that before, that it's a hoax, but now, you know, he's backed away from that, which is just interesting.
A huge step forward.
That he wouldn't hold to the hoax part. But again, that doesn't mean that you know, we're going to be back in the Paris Accord. I think part of the problem with all of this has been, and going back to the Kyoto Treaty, is how to get the entire world in it, moving and doing all the same things. Now, some of the third world countries, for example, wanted money to help them. And I understand that. But then again, India, for example, is 1.2 billion people. It's such a large population, you know. It's impossible to pay for everything, but I think big key will be, first of all, to recognize it's not a hoax. There is a problem. Everybody can argue all day long, as you know, Rick, what the problem is. There is some problem out there. And so then they've got to find an equitable way that the world, for the most part, the major players of the world become involved.
No, I think we're all screwed.
I just thought it was interesting. I think it was, well, also population. Nobody can argue, you know, make me think by argument that, you know, this population, at the time of Christ, there was 100 million people on the mother's 95. When he was a kid, I think there was, what, 1.7 billion? Now there's 7 billion. We can't keep sustaining this kind of growth and usage of products and materials, burning things, et cetera.
No, I agree with you. In fact, we got a guy running for governor here in Pennsylvania who believes, you know, he believes the climate is changing, and it's man-made because there are too many of us. It's our body heat that's doing it. There are so many of us that we're just heating up the planet naturally. It's the same guy. It's the same guy. And I don't know if you saw the video of Scott Walker or Scott Wagner. I keep saying that.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, this guy here, right here.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office because, you know what, I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
He's sick and tired. And golf spikes! Golf spikes, Bob!
Man, that's interesting.
There's a guy who needs an intervention quickly.
That's interesting.
He wants to be Trump. I mean, he's a little Trump wannabe. He's a fairly wealthy businessman who feels entitled to be governor. And he spent a boatload of his own money running probably the worst campaign I've ever seen. And, you know, he now feels a little angry. And he came out with a video, said, you know, the pressures of the campaign and all this. And I'm going, hey, dum-dum, what do you think the pressures of actually being governor are going to be like? Is this how you're going to, you know, maybe strangle some of the legislature?
Well, you know, you're right. He's trying to be Trump. You know, there's times and places for things, whether they make sense or they don't. And, you know, John Kasich, I've known him forever, his entire, you know, political life. And John Kasich could tend to be abrasive, okay? All of a sudden, I was like telling a friend of mine, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but he became Mr. Rogers during the primary. And all of a sudden, Trump was Trump. And whether it was, you know, crass or whatever, obviously what Trump was doing was working in the Republican primary.
Yeah.
You know, people were, tired and wanting this and wanting that. And being the nice guy might have worked the previous one. It just didn't work the last time. But now people try to, isn't it funny how they try to imitate things?
No.
You know?
No, but absolutely. I mean, they all want to be little Trump wannabes. Now, this guy's always been a bully. He's somebody who, you know, at one point he was at a dinner and said, you know, there's going to be blood on people. There's going to be bloodshed. And he gets out these surgical gloves and he goes, you know, I'm going to be in it, but I'm not getting blood on my hands because I got gloves. What the hell is that?
Wow.
He's a guy who routinely snatches cameras away from cameramen at functions. I mean, he's in the hallway of the Capitol because he was a state senator before he resigned. He put up little iPhone cameras around his door to see who was knocking over his sign. I mean, the guy's just a lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping he gets crushed in this election. And maybe we don't ever have to hear from him again. Just beyond bizarre. But anything else from the 60 Minutes interview that caught you off guard? Maybe we're going to start up, you know, snatching babies again?
Well, I think, for the most part, President Trump kind of behaved himself to a sense. You know what I'm saying? That I don't know. He doesn't do 60 Minutes. He doesn't do shows like that much. But I think he kind of tried to get a certain demeanor out there that was not as kind of wild. So you didn't get as many reactions. Although, to me, what caught my eye was he started to backtrack on Jamal Khashoggi. From what he said 2 days previous, tried to get a little bit more, you know, well, we might have to do sanctions, et cetera. But otherwise, you know, Trump's Trump, and I thought Leslie Stahl did a decent job with questions.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he came off as really, you know, more confident than I've seen him. And to steal Van Jones' line, he almost looked presidential.
I think he was told, you know, that you've got to be careful on this one. And you know, he just had a different demeanor than you normally see.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that what caught my attention was the climate change little bit there.
Right.
And also the, you know, maybe not, maybe who knows, maybe we're going to start snatching babies away from families again. Those are the two things that jumped out at me. The rest of it I thought was, yeah, fairly predictable.
Of course, when I'm the president, you're not.
Yep. Yeah, the same kind of, you know, bravado you would expect from him, and you got it. Not surprising. But the Khashoggi thing is interesting to me that, you know, even today he came out, and, you know, I talked about this earlier, even today he came out and said, well, it could have been a bunch of rogue actors. Yeah, who knows? I talked to the king, and the king said, no, we didn't do it. And now we find out, oops. Well, I guess we were interrogating him a little too hard.
Right. Well, I predicted that one yesterday. You know, I used to live in Saudi Arabia, as you know, in Jeddah. And I predicted to a friend of mine yesterday, they will finally, eventually, probably admit, well, yeah, and then it kind of went haywire, and then this guy was a bad rogue guy, and now we're going to go chop his head off in Saudi Arabia. Shame on you, even though it was ordered by MBS, as they call him, the crown prince, you know, in Saudi Arabia. What tickled me the most, though, today, when I was reading, you know, trying to prepare for the rest of the stations and your show tonight, when I was reading about the call to the king. When the king hung up the phone in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, he probably turned around and said, oh, I just talked to Hillary Clinton. The king has dementia.
Okay.
The king of Saudi Arabia has dementia. And for the White House to say, the king said, honestly, I mean, we all know that. Everybody in the media knows that. Everybody in the kingdom knows that. And, you know, hey, dementia is a serious thing. I have family members that have it. But what I'm trying to say here is this. Clearly, the king probably didn't even know who he was talking to. And now they're quoting the king says. I just found that absolutely ridiculous.
Well, he can't lie.
Right. I found it ridiculous.
You know, I'm sure he couldn't have the order. But, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, it just looks like Trump was being played the fool. I mean, because he's out there saying, no, they deny it emphatically. No, maybe it was rogue actors. Maybe he should have just shut his mouth and said, we don't know, but we're looking into it. I don't know why we have to go deeper into, we don't know. We're looking into it.
There's a long history here with, if you look at presidents, the crown prince, MBS as he's called. He really dressed down President Obama at an event overseas, in the sense of he was telling him about how the kingdom has to operate and on and on and on, because he's brazen. He's a prince. You know, he's got, you know, a $90 million home. And so he thinks he can talk down to people, as he did to President Obama at the time. And, you know, Bush, of course, and his brother had a connection to the Saudi money. And then President Trump, you know, in the history of I think the Saudis had some loans out there and things. So, you know, Saudi Arabia's always used its money. Yeah. And they had the business connections. And so that's a whole different world there. But, you know, the Arab world, especially with Saudi Arabia, throwing the money around, they believe they can get away with murder.
Well, they can, because look, what are they going to do? What are we going to do to them? I mean, at the end of the day, someone asked me today, you know, well, fine. So let's say they chop his head off and they kill. What are they going to do? What are we going to do? We didn't do anything after 9/11. What are we going to do over this?
Right. We flew the entire bin Laden family out within 2 hours out of the country.
Exactly. I mean, come on. Nothing's going to happen here. There'll be a little ruffled feathers for a second, and it will be long forgotten. Right. And again, they're going to get away with it because, oh, by the way, we've got to sell them more guns.
And oil, et cetera.
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe a change of administration might be helpful. I doubt it, but you never know. But found something interesting today. Evidently, Elizabeth Warren actually did take a DNA test. Are you surprised by that?
I think she shouldn't have.
Personally. No, that's stupid.
You know, because, hey, look, here's the bottom line. She's 1,024th. And 1/32nd. I'm 2%. I've had my DNA done. I'm 2% of what they're telling me is probably a Jewish diaspora in the Mideast. I'm 2%. So technically, I have a little bit more legitimacy to say I'm Jewish than she does Native American. Now, you know, any amount of blood in somebody, you know, from a heritage is something to be proud of, first of all. So, you know, that's something to be proud of. My children are part Native American, okay, because their mom was part Native American. So I think that's something to be proud of. The problem is that I don't think she should have taken the test, first of all. And now it's one in 1,024. She's just not going to win anything off of it.
No. And I go back. I always go back to what Lyndon Johnson used to say. You know, if you're explaining, you're losing. I think the thing was he said he wanted to claim somebody was having sex with a bull just to hear them them deny it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, technically she is Native American. That's great. And again, that's something to be proud of, but it is so minuscule in the, you know, in DNA structure there that it's just, she's not going to gain anything from it. Yeah. Now, he's not going to pay the $1 million either, he promised.
No, of course not. Does he have it? That's the other question.
Well, he's not going to pay it if he does.
But here, I guess this really shows she's in. All that talk of I'm not running for, this shows me she's in. This is a right. I want to be president moment.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
Her and everybody else.
Well, they were going to keep their powder dry. Everybody in D.C. knew that, Rick. And then, as you know, one starts out front and the other's like, oh, we got to go.
Yep.
Although I would caution, the out front person may be the lone person standing there that doesn't make it. Just ask Jeb Bush.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Joe Biden's going to be the guy. A lot of my mm-hmm. friends are. Originally, you asked me a year ago, did I think Joe Biden would be out in front? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the Me Too thing is going to swallow him up.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got way too many Me Too moments.
Mm-hmm. He's different. I mean, I know him. I serve with him. He's what, how do I say this? I want to be kind because I really, really like Joe Biden. I mean, a lot. I think he's a wonderful person. I really do. But he lived in a time when you could be, and it's not sexual assault or anything, but he lived in a time in politics where you could be a bit gregarious.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you could be. And today you can't be.
Yeah, but we're not forgiving that era of you used to be able to get away with it anymore.
Exactly. And again, it's not sexual assault or anything like that, but just the idea you put your arm around somebody or something in today's different world.
Yeah, I mean, like George H.W. Bush, you know, giving one of the singers a little pat on the behind.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be able to get away with that. How come you can't pat him on the behind anymore?
Well, not now. That's correct.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. And finally, evidently, there's a lawsuit claiming that Harvard is discriminating. This has been going on for a while, hasn't it? The Asians have been claiming it. We're so smart, they don't want us there?
Well, yes. Now there's a little bit of hidden agenda on this one, though. Half of the Asian community that's looking at this issue is not for doing anything, and half are for doing something. And the groups that have been kind of sponsoring this legally are groups that want to do away with affirmative action. So they're funding the Asians who want to take this into the lawsuit realm. They're funding them, hoping maybe the lawsuit then will do away with affirmative action.
Ah, interesting.
Right? There's a little bit of hidden stuff to it.
Interesting ploy where you could probably get the Republicans on board with that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Yeah. Anyway, good stuff, Bob. I appreciate
Thank
the time.
You. Okay, thanks.
As always, our good friend Bob Nay, Talk Media News. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Radio of, for, and by We The Working People. The Rick Smith Show.